It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you for joining me on this Friday afternoon. Hopefully you got some good plans for the weekend. Groundhog Day is coming up on Sunday. I think, not 100% sure here, but I think we're going to take the family to Groundhog Day up to Punxsie on Sunday. I went once about, I think it was 13 years ago. I think I went in 2012. I think it was 2012 I went with a couple guys from the Altoona Mirror, and my wife's never been. So Groundhog Day is one of those weird things that I loved the movie Groundhog Day long before I ever came here or had heard of Altoona, Pennsylvania. I've encountered a lot of people here that don't care anything about Groundhog Day. It's like doesn't mean anything to them. My wife, born and raised here, lived here her whole life, and never been to Punxsutawney for Groundhog Day, which to me is just mind-boggling. So I went with some friends. My kids are 12. I'm thinking if they don't go while they're younger, I'm not sure that, you know, somebody in their 20s going to Groundhog Day for the first time is going to have this huge appeal. So we may do it. How many of you ever been to Groundhog Day? I'm curious. Haven't talked about this much over the years, but if anybody's been to Groundhog Day, I'd love to hear a story. 9460435. When I went, Stephen Tobolowsky was there, the guy who plays Ned Ryerson. He was actually there, the guy Bill Murray punches in the face. And I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure Altoona is said four times in the movie Groundhog Day. Altoona is referenced four times in the movie. I wrote a story about this for the Mirror many years ago. I'm pretty sure it was four. It could have been six, but I want to say it was four. And because the blizzard, Bill Murray's a weatherman in Pittsburgh, and he keeps talking about how the blizzard is going to hit Altoona. And so Altoona is referenced in the movie. All right, 946-0435. Got some different kinds of topics today. We've been so football focused for a long time. I've got a high school topic for you in just a second that I'm really curious what people might think about this particular idea. Okay, give me a minute. I'll get to the high school topic in just 1 second. It's an intriguing topic that kind of has something to do a little bit related to what's going on in college sports right now, okay, with the free movement of athletes, all right? That gives it away. But I want to start, first of all, Penn State versus Iowa is tonight. Number one Penn State versus number two Iowa in wrestling. I was reminded about that by A-Dog. Obviously, we have tremendous number of Penn State wrestling fans here, so that should be – well, look, I'd say it should be a great showdown. Typically Penn State – shows its dominance in these kinds of things and pounds. I think they're probably going to pound Iowa, even though it's one versus two and all the hoopla and everything. I would still expect a blowout. I do want to spend a minute on Penn State men's basketball. All right. They got embarrassed last night at Rec Hall by 19 points against Ohio State. And Ohio State's really not even very good. And the Penn State men's basketball team has absolutely collapsed. Like, you know, they've been pretty competitive for the past few weeks, but just still find ways to lose. They've lost three in a row, 7 out of 8 games, and they are now 3-8 in the Big Ten. And I've spent a lot of time on this show over the years talking about Penn State basketball and college basketball. I have not done it a lot this year And again, it's for this same old reason. They suck, you know. And this is Mike Rhodes' second year. He comes in last year from VCU, gets off to a good start. You're thinking he's going to turn some things around. They still have a disappointing season, miss the NCAA tournament. This year, they got off to an 8-0 start. I'm sorry, 6-0 start, but they were clobbering people. They were 8-1. Beat St. Francis by 30, beat UMBC by 49 points, for God's sake, beat Binghamton by 42. But as somebody pointed out to me last night, the non-conference schedule was really weak. They did play Virginia Tech, but outside of that, the non-conference schedule was really pretty weak. And so they're piling up a lot of wins over bad teams. But then they open up Big Ten play, and they beat number eight Purdue at the time, 81-70 for their first win. So since then, they've gone 2-8, and a lot of injuries they're dealing with. Ace Baldwin, their point guard, banged up. So I would like to come in here and talk more about Penn State basketball. I got a text from a buddy, Byron, a few days ago. You ever talk basketball anymore? Why? They suck. I mean, this is Penn State basketball fans' lot in life. Is, you know, a good year every 3, 4, 5 years. Then they stink, and just disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. But last night took it to a new level. It was embarrassing last night. They lost by 19 points at home at Rec Hall. I mean, these return to rec games are supposed to be like really cool, you know, revisiting the old days, Penn State basketball history, that sort of thing. And they just get hammered by Ohio State. You know, Ohio State's only 13-8. They're not that great. They're in eighth place in the Big Ten. They come into here and just crush Penn State. And so on top of that, the Penn State women's basketball team is, and let me double check this, their record in the Big Ten. I'm pretty sure it is one, that they've got one win. Their record in the Big Ten is 1-10. So, and I feel bad because, you know, Allie Campbell's there. Really like Allie. She's having a nice year. She's battled through a lot of injuries, and I want Allie to succeed. But Carolyn Keeger, the progress she had made her first few years at Penn State, that is all completely falling apart now. And you really got to wonder if Carolyn Keeger is going to get fired. So, just to kind of wrap up this whole basketball component, we talked earlier in the week with Neil Riddell from the Altoona Mirror about the total buy-in now for Penn State football. Complete and total buy-in for Penn State football. What will be the ramifications of spending all of your resources on football? Not all, but even more than usual. And the flip side is, you truly have to wonder, as I've talked about for years and years and years, Penn State has 31 varsity sports. That's way too many. I'm not saying you're going to get rid of men's basketball and women's basketball. That's never going to happen. But one of the byproducts of, hey, there's complete and total buy-in for the football program now. They're going to get a defensive coordinator for $3.1 million, $700 million for a football stadium. What's going to happen to the rest of the sports? Obviously, wrestling is sensational. Men's hockey has dropped off this season, although they've had a couple nice wins lately. But outside of wrestling, women's volleyball won a national title. That's tremendous. What's going to happen, especially with men's and women's basketball? Where are the resources going to come for those heavy resource sports? And when you see them struggling, women's basketball loses money. They lose a lot of money. But you see men's basketball struggling. You thought that they were making progress in paying more for a coach, Mike Rhodes making more than a couple million a year, and then all of a sudden you just have a complete and utter collapse, and it's like, okay, well, they're going to have to start over again here before too long. But again, the byproduct of if you're going to start spending more and more and more and more and more resources on football, it pretty much stands to reason that's less resources on other things. Now, again, wrestling, women's volleyball, traditional national powers, they should be okay. But men's basketball, not a traditional power. Women's basketball was a power 20, 25 years ago and prior to that. But as of now, I mean, it's almost inevitable. All right, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to bring up a high school topic here in just a second. Clarkster's calling in, probably wants to weigh in on my Penn State thing. But Clarkster, I'm pretty sure you're probably going to want to discuss my next topic even more. So that's why I'm going to take a break now. I'll open up the phone lines here on the other side. Here's the question. I'll go ahead and throw the question out. Should high school athletes have complete and total carte blanche in transferring schools if they want to go to another school and play sports? Now, there are a lot of parameters here. College athletes can do it. High school athletes, we do have an education system in Pennsylvania and a lot of other states where you can choose whatever school you want to go to, but there are rules and regulations in place from the PIAA that stipulate if you're just transferring for sports reasons, hey, we got a problem there. We might have to sit out a year. You know, there's some issues. Should there be? How much longer do you think stipulations like that could last, even at the high school level? We've gotten to the point now where college athletes are going to be able to do whatever the heck they want. Do you still think we're going to have some of these rules and stipulations in place if high school athletes want to just change schools and play sports anytime they want? We're going to get into that here after the break.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
J&P Auto Mart knows you hate the snow, but when it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart. J&P Auto Mart has more trucks than any other used car lot in three counties, along with SUVs and all-wheel drive cars. You've already had a taste of winter, and you know you need a reliable car, truck, or SUV. Get to J&P Auto Mart. They have trades and discount accordingly. When it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart, 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over two dozen local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Howdy, the old farmer here, you know, from the Almanac. You know this wonderful snowy winter we're having that I predicted? Well, it's going to bring a plentiful growing season for farmers like me and for lawn and gardens like yours. Many don't understand what winter can do for growth, but the McCoy family and McCoy's Lawn and Garden in Roaring Spring does. Just go to McCoy'sLawnAndGarden.com and check out their full selection of the Kubota BX series tractors and lawn equipment. Kubota is the only real choice for mowing, spreading, plowing, digging, planting, whatever you need, the Kubota BX series can handle. The Kubota BX series is the brand that you know and trust, with easier operation, superior comfort, and a new, simpler system for attaching and detaching Kubota implements, so you can switch jobs like a pro. This spring, count on the McCoy family for the Kubota BX series that you need. Stop at McCoy's Lawn and Garden today to pick up your new Kubota. Route 36 and Roaring Spring, McCoy's Lawn and Garden, helping sow the seeds for tomorrow.
So just to clarify on exactly what I'm asking here, if you go to one school district and you want to switch schools, you can. That's allowed in Pennsylvania. If you go to Tyrone, and you, if you live in Tyrone and you want to go to Bellwood, if I get any of this incorrect, and anybody wants to correct me, you know, that feel free to do so, please. I want to make sure we got this right. But you live in Tyrone, you want to go to Bellwood, you can. You got to get, you know, you got to get go through certain procedures or whatever. And I think there's some tax things involved with wherever you live versus wherever you're going, but you can. My understanding, you live in Altoona, you want to go to Claysburg Kimmel, you can. But if you're doing it for sports, the PIAA, the governing body of sports in the state, can step in, and there are hoops that you have to jump through to basically say you're not doing it for sports. Couple things here. This is a sports show. I am for competitive balance. My general default on this is I think it's good to have rules in place to prevent athletes from just going a chaotic anarchy to play wherever they want. But that's what we have in college sports right now. You have chaotic anarchy where anybody can go play anywhere that they want. So my question for you isn't even so much, do you believe that high school athletes should be able to just switch schools to play sports? It's my question for you is really more pointed at, how long do you think it might be before there are no hoops to jump through, that we just continue to allow people to do whatever they want in this country, and freedoms and personal freedoms and all this stuff? I personally do like that there are some guardrails in place. Again, from a sports perspective, there are some guardrails in place. If Johnny is the star basketball player at Tyrone, but he wants to go to Bellwood and he's going to be the star basketball player at Bellwood, there are some issues there. However, if you're the star tuba player at Tyrone, I don't even know if any of this makes any sense, marching bands or whatever the hell, play along with me. If you're the star tuba player at Tyrone, Bellwood's got a better band set up that's going to help your tuba career. You got to jump through barriers? You're a great mathematics student. You go to Altoona, you feel like Central has a better math program for you. You got to jump through barriers? Why? So even though this is a sports show, and even though I do kind of know the answer, I'm involved in sports, I'm not naive, I'm going to throw this out. What makes sports so special? Why, if you want to go from Altoona to Central and you say it's for academics, nobody bats an eye. If you want to be in a marching band or move for mathematics or move for the drama club, nobody bats an eye. Nobody cares. If it's for sports, oh my God, you're not moving, you're not doing that. This is cheating. Why do sports... Why are sports viewed differently in this whole discussion? We'll go to Clarkster first here. Clarkster, you called in before I really brought up the topic. I'll leave it up to you, whatever you want to talk about.
Well, actually, if they gave out vouchers, this all would go away.
I don't know what you mean.
Vouchers.
Vouchers for what?
School. You can take your... tax dollars and apply it to any school that you wanted to go to.
Well, again, kids can do that anywhere. But if you go do it for sports, the PIAA is going to step in and say, not so fast.
No, they don't give vouchers because the vouchers would be applied at non-public schools. So it could be held hostage.
Okay, you're talking over my head here. I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm just asking you the point of the matter of why are sports so special?
Well, okay, they have the reserve clause basically for sports is what it comes down to.
Exactly, but not for drama club, not for math, not for science club, not for band. So what is it about sports in our society that if little Johnny wants to move school districts for band, nobody gives a flip? Little Johnny wants to go to join a new basketball team. Ho, ho, ho! Little Johnny's cheating! You're cheating!
I know. Now it's in their face when it comes to the college, you know, situation.
And that's my whole question here is, this is just the norm now in college. If you heard Nathan and I arguing last week because Nathan wants to kind of just accept that the way things are now or the way things are, that it's never going to go back to the past. Well, the way things are now, college students can do anything they want. My guess is within 10 to 15 years, any high school student in this country will be able to go to any high school. You're not going to have a PIAA stepping in saying little Johnny can't go play basketball outside of his. I think that these personal freedoms that we're getting, we're going to get to a point where high school athletes are able to just do anything that they want, just like they can in college. Because there's going to be lawsuits. You're going to take away my opportunity to scholarship. You can actually get NIL in high school now in some state. You see what I'm getting at if you add up all these pieces?
Well, yeah, I agree. It's funny if you think about it. And I was thinking, I've seen things on Facebook about, you know, with the NFL championship games and different things. Back then, and NIL for a pro was called a second job.
Yeah, right. yeah. You're going to paint houses in the off season. That's your NIL.
Yeah, that there really was an NIL because you were trading on the name, image, and likeness into a second job.
Uh-huh.
But that's what you needed.
That's right. That's funny.
Now, as far as college basketball goes, I think college basketball has really dropped off, and I think a lot of it has to do with the three-point shot. Teams, it's just too easy of an offense to put out there. They're not working enough.
Yeah.
And you look at statistics, and you see games where teams go like 3-for-20 or 3-for-25.
The fundamentals, guys like Jay Wright at Villanova, Tony Bennett at Virginia, these were phenomenal. And I mean – top 10 level coaches. They coached basketball. They got guys in their program to stay there for 3 or 4 years. They were phenomenal teachers. You don't have any of that anymore. The
That's why that guy at Golden State is really the devil incarnate.
We talk about Curry all the time. Curry's impact on basketball is greater than LeBron's.
But it's not done it well.
Yeah, that actually could, you know, ultimately that could end up being Steph Curry's legacy as he ruined basketball.
yeah, because they don't spend the time. You statistically look at the attempts that are made from twos.
And college basketball specifically, guys come and go all the time. Nobody's in programs for 4 years anymore. These coaches like Jay Wright and Tony Bennett don't want to stick around and try to develop. Rob Krimmel at St. Francis, perfect example. I was having a conversation about this with somebody the other day. Rob Krimmel built St. Francis over the last 15 years by keeping guys there for 4 years and them developing. Now he can't get that. He can't get those guys to stay anymore. It happens at all levels.
One final comment. You have Nathan in there on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Right.
I hope you're building the succession plan for in a couple of weeks when you go on vacation.
I'm not. I think we're going to have some fill-ins. I don't think it's going to be Nathan necessarily.
Well, let's get Nathan involved here.
We'll see. Usually it's like Dave Shannon, Rich DeLeo. I'm not sure exactly what the plan is, but I will pass. I'll pass that along. That's my coaching tree. I love it. Good stuff, Clarkster. 946-0435. Now, Jerry in Bellwood coached high school sports. And like I said, Jerry, this may seem like a little bit of an odd thing because I am in favor of having some guardrails so that little Johnny doesn't leave Tyrone just to go be a star at Bellwood. But if you see what I'm getting at, we're allowing this in college now. how long is it going to be before there is no PIAA stepping in saying little Johnny can't just go to Bellwood because he's a superstar?
Well, I think it's coming. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a bad thing if it's just for sports, but
I'm talking about it. Honestly, it's just going to be for sports. It's just going to be for sports. Little Johnny wants to go play for the coach at Bellwood. He likes him. He was his AAU coach. It is strictly 1,000,000,000% for sports. You can't prove anything otherwise. But and typically in those situations, it's PIAA can say, well, then you got to sit out a year, okay? Well, I get the feeling the way where we're headed, that's going to end at some point.
Yeah, he doesn't like the big, mean coach that made him run an extra line drill or something.
And there you go.
Screwed him out. He's gonna leave, and his parents are going to, be on his side, and the coach is a bad guy.
And that's the next iteration. The kids who were in their third high school in 3 years because they keep doing it. Again, this sounds ridiculous, folks. I'm telling you, I think this will happen all across this country at some point. Kid plays basketball in 10th grade for one public school, moves down the road in 11th grade, moves down the road in 12th grade, and I don't know that there's going to be anything to stop it.
Yeah, because in the end, it's going to hurt a lot of kids. Because
absolutely.
Most of these kids that are going to transfer in high schools and stuff aren't going to play any further. And of course, that's going to be on the parent, too. You know, the parent needs to teach their kid how to handle these situations. But, no, I definitely think it's coming. I mean, when you look at really what money in sports has really hurt sports, and you could almost say in college, maybe it's helping if you're getting players to stay longer. I mean, that's a good thing.
You broke up there. Repeat that last part, Jerry.
The more money we're paying athletes in sports, the worse product we're getting.
And that's what I'd say. As the NIL trickles down to high school sports, there will be lawsuits. There will be movements. What do you mean little Johnny can't transfer from Tyrone to Bellwood to play basketball? You're hurting little Johnny's earnings potential. You're hurting little Johnny's scholarship potential. I'm suing you so that little Johnny can do whatever he wants. We lost Jerry there. But you see my point there of what I'm trying to get. Not that I think that any of this would be a good idea. I reached out to Mike Boyden from the Altoona Mirror. He's brilliant. He knows all the high school ins and outs, and I was picking his brain about some of this stuff earlier today. He helped me think through a lot of this stuff. And, look, I do think it's good that you have guardrails, okay? But at the same time, you know, you've got these charter schools and a lot of the prep schools or Catholic schools around the state that win basketball championships every single year. They can bring people in, these tuition-based schools, put them on scholarship. They can do it all the time. I don't have the current numbers, but over the last 15 years or so, the number of boys and girls state championships won, PIAA championships won in Pennsylvania, it's 80%+ private schools. Private schools being charters, you know, the Catholic schools, whatever, prep schools, whatever. It's 80%. You don't think that's going to get involved in lawsuits here at some point as the little Johnnies and little Michelles want to and again, just to be clear here, because my understanding, you can move from one school to another. You can do it nowadays. You couldn't used to, I guess, but you can now. But if they deem that it's just for sports, your current school can throw up a roadblock and say, no, we're not signing off on this. And if they don't sign off on it, well, now you might not be able to do it, or the PIAA has to get in and you have to sit out a whole year. And, you know, quite frankly, I do like that, you know, as a traditionalist, as an old school kind of person, you know, competitive balance and everything, play with your friends growing up. I think that is the way it should be. I'm just looking at this from the perspective that's how college sports used to be too. College sports used to be like that. And we've seen what's happened in the last 4 or 5 years with all of these monumental changes in college sports, and it just makes you wonder how much longer is it going to be before it all trickles down to high school sports, and you've got 9th and 10th and 11th graders. Look, the kids transfer nowadays anyway, and they go through. But I'm talking about in mass, where you have just massive numbers of kids changing schools. All right, Nebraska man, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, Corey. Hey, first of all, how did you get to go on vacation without our vote seeing whether you were allowed to go or not?
That's right. Man, I'm ready for vacation. We're leaving like next Friday or something. My wife asked me a couple hours ago. She said, "You ready?" I'm like, "Let's go right now." I'd be going right now, buddy.
Hey, getting to the high school. I know times in the years have changed, but back, you know, in the '60s, early '60s. There weren't really that many good high schools around here that you really had a good shot of getting a scholarship to go to schools. Now, I'm not talking big schools now. You know, I'm talking about Clarion or IUP or Slippery Rock, Juniata, you know, Lock Haven. But, you know, there weren't that many really big schools around in sports then. That technically, the only great school back then was Altoona High School. And we had over 300 kids come out for football every year, and we had to end up getting a B team besides the JV and the varsity team because kids thought that they had a better shot.
Back in the day, anybody transfer over to Altoona from Holidaysburg or anything?
Yes, we had we had a gentleman by the name of Phil Witherspoon. He was from Claysburg.
Yep.
And he transferred to Altoona High, and I think his first or second game, he scored 6 touchdowns.
Now, did anybody raise a fuss?
No, not back in. No, back in, you know, Earl Strom, there was no fuss. Maybe the people in Claysburg.
That's what I'm talking about. Here's the thing about Nebraska, man. Nobody in Altoona raised a fuss. But how about Altoona's here's the thing. How about Altoona's opponents? And I wasn't here for Danny Fortson, but I understand there were a lot of things going on with Danny Fortson when they were able to get him to come here. And that created some issues. So, and then he left.
Well, they had that big center too, the seven footer that actually lived with John Swagger, and they really made a big beef about that. It was before Danny Fortson.
And what I'm saying is, we can pull up these, you know, individual isolated kinds of things here. I just wonder how, because again, I'm basing this on what's happened in college athletics. How much longer is it before this all trickles down to the high school level and there are no guardrails in place and anybody can just play anywhere they want and just move from year to year to year?
Yeah, I don't think I'll live to see it, but I don't think there's going to be a PIA because, like you said, Corey, most of these kids are going to private schools. And that's all you see, like you said. It's not only in football, but it's for basketball. Anywhere you go, it's mostly, these prep schools, private schools. BG's been on the map now more than any public school in the area for the last 10 years. But my final question to you is this. I don't know if it's a stupid question or not, but let's say I'm a sophomore in high school and I got like 6 or 7 colleges that are after me. Say they come my junior year. Can these colleges pay these high school kids to make sure that when they get out of high school that they go to that college? Can they pay them like they're doing to college kids?
No, they cannot do that on above water. However, the NIL, high school kids, and I'm not sure if Pennsylvania can do this. I'm trying to check. There can be backdoor channels to where high school kids, states that allow NIL, Louisiana, Tennessee, Georgia, North Carolina, that's what's passed so far. I'm not quite sure if Pennsylvania is on the list yet. But if you see what I'm getting at, if there's backdoor channels that we can connect some of our collectives or what have you, people that we know donate to us, and then we'll find a way to get you that money in 11th grade. I could absolutely see that happening. And again, not only as the money starts to trickle down to the high school athletes, but the allure of money, because I keep saying this, once guys are able to stay in college for 5 years, 5 years of eligibility, that's going to happen here in the next year or two, and the amount of money that they're getting in college, folks, we're talking millions here. We're not talking $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, $70,000. We're talking over the course of, you know, if 10th graders are allowed to do certain things or not allowed to do certain things, you could go to court and say that decision is going to cost my kid $7.8 million because he would get this based on his NIL in high school, and that would get him to this school as a freshman, and maybe that could get him to this place in the market as a sophomore and this place in the market as a junior. There will be monetary amounts placed on all of this stuff before too long.
Okay. Hey, Corey, thank you. Hey, by the way, Nate did a good job yesterday. He did really well. I know you were there, you know, alongside him, but he did pretty well. He took the questions. He knew the answers to most of them. So I'd give him about an A- for yesterday.
All right, good stuff, Nebraska man. I'll pass that along. Thank you, buddy. We're going to go to Dan. What's up, Dan? How you doing?
Better than I deserve, Corey. Well, you know, Corey, I agree with all you're talking about now. But if a person goes from Altoona to Claysburg or Tyrone or anybody, now they have to provide their own transportation, and I think they've got to pay an entrance fee or something.
I think from what I read, and again, I'm not an expert on this. You pay your local taxes in your school district. I think there has to be an agreement worked out to where the taxes that you're paying locally are then forwarded some way to the other school district. Okay, so there's ways around that. And again, I'm not an expert on all that stuff. The point I'm trying to make with this is the way things work right now with the PIAA, they've got guardrails in place to where if they deem that you're transferring just for academic for athletics, they can put the kibosh on it. But I don't think that that's going to be able to last. I don't think that's going to hold water in the future because I think they're going to basically come up with ways to say, look, you are infringing upon this 10th or 11th grader's earning potential, not only in high school but potential college scholarship. And then you get lawsuits involved. You get lawyers involved. And then – what I'm predicting is this chaotic anarchy that's happened in college sports for the last 4 years, it's going to find its way to the high school level at some point.
Oh, without a doubt. And it's already affecting, these five-star athletes and everything. It's going to affect them, Corey.
No question. And some of them, and there have been cases around the country where players have been, and we've had some locally where players have been had to sit out a year of their high school eligibility because it was deemed they were transferring for athletics.
Oh, absolutely.
But those rules, I think, those are going to be much more closely scrutinized, I think, going forward.
But you're still going to have like a PIA to govern the bodies. You got to have some kind of...
They don't do a hell of a good job right now. I mean, what is it that they do? What is it that the PIAA, you're right, you do need governance, you got to have somebody involved, but this is the same problem with the NCAA. The PIAA, they have a whole bunch of arbitrary rules, you know, forcing teams to play way up in certain classifications or what have you, because they've won too. I mean, there are a lot of holes you can poke in the PIAA.
Oh, without a doubt, no question about it. But you got, like you said, you got to have some kind of a guidance, though, friend. You got to fence this in, sort of, and when they're in high school now.
Yeah, good stuff, Dan. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call, Chuck in Unionville. You've been holding online for a good bit, Chuck. How you doing, pal?
Hey, I'm good, Corey. How about you?
Am I crazy to think that we're just going to have carte blanche transferring in high school within 15 to 20 years?
I don't know about high school. I looked into transferring my son for other reasons other than athletics, one of my sons. And you really can't just go. If you've paid your taxes, your tax dollars, the tax dollars will follow you if you go to a certified charter school. And that can be a brick and mortar or that can be online. but they do. You can't just go like if I'm living now in Bald Eagle School District and I wanted my son to play sports at State High, I couldn't just take him to State High. I literally would have to pay them a not an insignificant amount of money.
Well, you can't. But hey, kids. We're talking two things. You can do it. That legally, you can. Well, what you're talking about is it affordable?
Well, yeah, but I'm saying if for sports, yes. But if you wanted to get your kid in, you know, there are ways to get your kid in, but it's not so much you can just play the shell game with it, even if you're not involved in sports. But to the bigger point, Corey, are you going to give $1 million to a 16-year-old? Now, I understand the parents.
Yes, yes, Chuck. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, no, but I'm saying, we're about ready to do anything. Our society was willing to do anything as long as it gets the results that it wants. And giving that amount of money to a kid, expecting his parents to monitor that.
You don't think Arch Manning would have gotten $1 million? You don't think LeBron would have gotten $3 million in high school?
100%. But what's it going to do to the kid, and what's it going to do to the culture is really more the issue. But to me, this all came because the universities caved to the student athletes to give them not only the NIL money, but this is the incentive. This is what really has me just in a rage when I think about this. You know, in pro sports, if you sign a contract, you're not going anywhere for the term of that contract.
Exactly. That we've gotten this a couple times now. That's where things are so crazy now. That the professional athletes now, the ones at the highest pay scale, the ones who have worked the hardest for the longest, have the least amount of freedom compared to high school athletes. Compared to college athletes. That's what's crazy.
Right. That is what's crazy. And the universities caved to them. You know, because guess what? I mean, I look at these athletes. And they're going to cave to the younger kids in order to make sure that they don't lose out on the talent that they want to keep their programs moving. And, you know, they're going to give in high school. But the reality is these student athletes up at a university, they'd be like me working for Microsoft and saying, I get a salary, but you know what? I want a slice of your profits without owning stock, without having to have gone through and own stock. So just because I work here and I haven't gotten stock from you, I'm going to demand that you give me a slice of the profits that you make.
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely ridiculous. You know, they cried so that it was some form of slavery and it was oppression. And I want to look at these student athletes and I want to say, you know what? Number one, if you think it's oppressive, don't play. And number two, if you think it's that bad, then go out and start your own university system and create your own league. Because these things took centuries to build.
Yeah.
This didn't happen overnight.
And it's taken 4 years to completely overhaul. Completely overhaul.
It's unbelievable.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. And I wonder if the colleges are going to take a look at these kids and go, all right, look, this is just ridiculous. You can't go where you want between that and the transfer portal. And I wonder if they have to have them sign a contract.
Taking away freedoms, it's a hard fight to get freedoms in life in any aspect. If you start to take away people's freedoms after they've already had it, you've got mutiny there.
You do, but even as a society that is based upon individual self-determination and capitalism and all these things, we still recognize it's not a free-for-all. Each one of us has negotiated as a society to say, you can't drive 90 miles an hour on a highway. You have to obey a red light. Okay, we all acquiesce freedoms to make this system go. And in order to preserve college athletics, at some point they're going to have to put a clamp on this and at least make them sign a damn contract.
Yeah, I agree. You know? Yeah, contracts. Thanks, buddy. Good stuff, man. All right, this says on my screen that caller number two wants to talk Groundhog Day. I'm waiting for this conversation.
Well, Corey, let's see how you know. I think I've asked you this before, so it might be cheating, but what's the last line?
Yeah, we talked about this last year. I bring this up once a year. We should live here.
No, you're close. You're so close. That's the second of the last
one. Because that was my guess last year. I think you stumped me. Wait, hang on. So I think you stumped me on this last year, because my answer year was, because he says, we should live here, and then you're saying that, does Andy McDowell say something after that, or does Bill Murray say something?
He says we should live here, then they have a nice kiss, and then he says, we'll rent to start.
Oh, that's right. You know, that's twice now you've got me on this. You've got me twice on this trivia question, which I respect, but pisses me off.
Well, you're almost in the upper echelon of Groundhog Dayers, Corey.
Well, since you called about this, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned this to you before, so I believe there are, in the movie, if you actually count the number of days that start over, and again, I wrote this story 15 years ago, it's either 34 or 43. I can't remember which one it was. It's like, so the number of days that start over in the movie, just in the movie itself, it's either 34 or 43. So it's a relatively small number. Do you know in the original screenplay, all right, everybody ready for this? In the original screenplay, how long Bill Murray's character was stranded there? What's your guess?
I'd say 100,000 years.
10,000 years. 10,000 years was the answer I read a number of years ago, because Harold Ramis wrote it with, I want to say the guy's name might have been Danny Cannon or something. Anyway, they only show you about a month and a half in the movie, but in the original plan for the story, he was trapped there for 10,000 years. It's one thing to live Groundhog Day for a month or two or three or whatever. If you had to live the same day for 10,000 years, you would truly go bananas.
Yeah, or you find yourself.
Hey, anything else, buddy?
Well, I was going to go to the Ohio State game with a buddy of mine, and he was going to get the tickets. He said he couldn't. He couldn't get one, he didn't think, and they were $70, so it was hard to get into that game, I think.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's why it's so embarrassing for Penn State, because the return to rec game, that's supposed to be like a big deal, they get back to their roots, they get into the smaller, more quaint rec hall, blah, 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 all these feel-good story, blah, and then you get your ass beat.
Yeah, that was, I'll tell you, I'm an Ohio State fan, so I was impressed, but I don't know what happened to the Penn State team. Maybe it's because Baldwin's back.
Baldwin is hurt, and you know. But here's the thing, though, man. And this is, I love college basketball, and it's easy for me to say this. I will admit that it's much easier to say. But if you build your whole damn team around one guy, and something happens to that guy, I got to question your program building. Now, he brought Ace Baldwin with him from VCU, and Ace Baldwin is a good player. He's a very good player, offensively and defensively, and clearly Mike Rhodes decided to hand him the keys to the car, and everything is going to run through Ace Baldwin. But my God, man, if you're going 3-8 because one guy gets hurt, now again, I know it's much easier said than done, because if a lot of teams' star player got hurt, it would be a massive thing. But that's the issue here. Like, there was so much riding on Ace Baldwin, and Puff Johnson's hurt. They've got some other issues as well.
Yeah, they just seem to run out of steam and just lose all their composure in the second half. Last question, Corey. Will Michigan suffer any penalties with this infractions? They gave them six level ones, but I have a feeling Michigan's going to fight it for years.
The last part, I would say that, yes, they will suffer some penalties. I don't think they're going to have major ones, but I'm not sure that you or I will be alive when it comes down to it, because I think they will kick this down the road as far as they possibly can.
Yeah, they're going to litigate the heck out of it.
For years and years and years.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
NASCAR racing is back this weekend with the Cookout Clash at Bowman Gray Stadium in North Carolina. Yeah, it's an exhibition race. There's no points, no championship implications. But, hey, we've got the roar of the engines for some short track racing. 200 laps, 50.6 miles. 23 drivers ultimately doing battle after qualifying in heat races. This weekend's on-track action begins Saturday with live practice sessions. The drivers will be split into three practice groups, each group set for three practice sessions. Each driver's fastest lap from their final practice session will determine the starting lineup for one of four 25-lap heat races. If you remember, on Tuesday, NASCAR revealed the practice groups, which were assigned based on owner's points, starting with Joey Logano in Group 3 and moving across to William Byron in Group 1. Then you got Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, and so on. The fastest driver in the final practice will start from the pole position in Heat 1. The second driver will start from the pole in Heat 2. The third fastest driver will start in the pole in Heat 3, and so on. Only green flag laps will count in each heat race with no overtime. The top five finishers in each heat race will advance to Sunday night's feature event. Those that don't advance will have one more shot with a 75-lap last chance qualifier going down Sunday afternoon. Bowman Gray Stadium, make your plans to watch on Sunday for that last chance qualifier, 6 p.m. and the main event, 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox. You're on the final lap.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle.
With ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Did you know that 1 in 4 people seeking treatment for ED are under 40? Hims can help. Get started at hims.com/joy. Through hims.com, you can access a full range of treatment options for ED, including daily or as-needed meds through a 100% online process. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to hims.com/joy.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
All right, welcome back to our show, brought to you every day by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. They're always open online at boswellpipes.com. Steve wants to talk about our high school topic. What's up, Steve? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, buddy. I do not think high school kids should be allowed to transfer for sports.
I agree.
And I think we should go to a European-style school system. I could tell you all about it because it's way better than the American school system. I do not think sports should be attached to school districts at all because my kids never played sports. But the school district I went to were always spending money on sports. And
sports lose tons of money for school. So let me ask you this real quick. I only got a minute and a half. I'm in agreement with you that high school athletes should not be able to just transfer all the time. We are in agreement on that. Do you think it's going to remain that way 15, 20 years? With where we are right now and how much things are changing so rapidly, do you think that it's going to just stay that way?
I think the college sports is going to I'm a capitalist. I told you that. But I think you're getting very immature kids that's going to make a lot of money, and a lot of them are going to make big mistakes. you, and I'm saying immature, you look at some of the NFL players and some of the basketball players. Look at George
Absolutely.
Pickens. Yeah, can you imagine him making $10
million? That ship has already sold. So, again, but I'm just asking you point blank. You make a prediction for me. In 15 years, are high school kids just going to be able to transfer wherever they want to go and play immediately?
No, because I think the popularity of sports is going to drop. I really do.
What?
Because I think these
what?
Kids.
What?
I really do. Look, basketball's
with
popularity.
With all the
dropping.
Money that they've got, buddy, come on, man. Come on, man. The popularity of sports isn't dropping.
Look, they're already doing the Gen Zers and the Millennials, and they're not as interesting as in sports as our generation. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, they do have more things at their disposal, if that's your argument, that they've got the iPads and the phones and all that. But,
well, Corey,
the amount of money spent on youth sports is probably 10,000 times what it was when you were a kid.
Well, I know. That's why I believe in separating it. Like in Europe, the schools don't pay for any sports.
Call me. We're out of time. Call me someday and tell me how they do it in Europe, buddy.
Okay.
Have a good weekend, man.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
3, 2, 1.
Fuel your new year with savings. Drive a brand new Mitsubishi Mirage or G4, America's most affordable fuel-efficient car, for only $45 a week at 5-star Mitsubishi Altoona. Mitsubishi Mirage is the lowest-priced car in the U.S. with the highest MPG rating of any non-electric and carries the best warranty on the planet. Plus, comes with a huge list of standard, incredible features. With just $3,500 cash or trade equity, plus tax and fees down, get your new Mitsubishi for only $45 a week. Yep, $45 a week. We're kicking gas and taking names. Only at the Mitsubishi Giant, 5-star Mitsubishi Altoona.
5-star Mitsubishi Altoona. It doesn't get better than this.
See dealer for current deals and exclusions.
Hey, I got you something.
What's this?
Just a little Galentine's gift from JTV.
Do you mean jewelry television? I love their jewelry. They have the
new customers
amazing.
Get $25 off their first purchase of $75 or more. Visit jtv.com/romance.
And their artisan collections? Gorgeous.
Are you going to open your gift?
Oh, yeah. It's the pearl bracelet.
New customers receive $25 off their first purchase of $75 or more. Visit jtv.com/romance.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More. There's so much waiting for you. All kinds of beers and thousands of wines. Guys in the know when price is so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
Only at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. B21.
All right, very interesting discussion today. Hopefully you guys took something out of that. We talked so much football on the show. I don't want to come in here and just be a one-trick pony talking the same thing all the time. I want to get into some good basketball topics and everything now, some baseball topics before too long as well. Hopefully everybody's got some good plans for the weekend. No Super Bowl this weekend. We got to wait a week. We'll preview the Super Bowl a good bit on next week's show. I do want to get into some more college basketball topics. We had some really good discussions today for a couple people that called in about the state of college basketball right now, not just from Penn State's perspective, but all the three-point shooting. And to me, I grew up in the 80s and the 90s where everybody stayed in school for 3 or 4 years. You got to see teams develop. The UNLV team developed over time. The Duke teams with Bobby Hurley, Christian Laettner developed. these guys just come and go. Hardly anybody's there for more than a year or two anymore. It's hard to develop. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1.